This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Listening to Her Vantage, this is Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong. Now, founded by SC Tung in 2005, Harrison has become a local leading chocolatier with 5 flagship stores in locations like KL, Penang, and Pahang. With fascinating flavors like durian, Tongkat Ali, and ruby chocolates, one could say the business is pretty sweet for Harrison. So today, I'm speaking to the CEO of Harrison, Teng YZ, to talk all things chocolate and how she's upholding her family legacy.
Good morning.
Hi. So first of all, I guess, talk to us about the beginnings of Harrison. So this was founded by your dad, SC Tung, in 2005. But how did you guys get into chocolate in the first place?
My dad loves chocolate. So when he was young and he see kids with chocolate, he would want to have this product wide in the mass market and have kids or every people to endure chocolate. So he thought of having chocolates as his business. But he started off as a tour guide. So he would bring tourists around the world back to Malaysia. And throughout the period, he was thinking, oh, so everybody loves chocolate. Why not have like a chocolate retail store and have tourists coming from around the world and come and enjoy chocolate? So we started a business back in 2005 where we have tourists coming to our chocolate shop. That's how it started.
Mm, I see. You know, one thing that I find really interesting about that is that a lot of entrepreneurs, they really go for the niche or the things that are not yet fulfilled, essentially. So they'll go for really like creative or very specific ideas. Whereas, you know, with your dad, right, you know, he saw chocolate as a universally loved thing and he decided to make right. his business that, as opposed to basically going into something really, really specific instead. So that's actually really interesting. And also, like, yeah, everyone loves chocolate, right? So as we've mentioned, Harrison is a family business as well. What was it like for you to step into this leading position within your family's company?
I must say it's difficult. I joined the company 4.5 years ago. I was 24. And being in that position is definitely difficult. It's a male-dominant industry. And being a young age, having to convince even other business partners or customers to come to visit the store, it's difficult. So that is definitely a difficult part. And having to affiliate ourselves as a branded chocolate, only uniquely have it in Malaysia, that's difficult because, like you said, Malaysia not properly known as chocolate retail shop. It's properly known as we have multicultural, we have durian, we have pewter, but not many people know about chocolate. Mm. And so when we go through this route, definitely it's difficult bringing the market to know us more. And the other thing, it's being a young age to really talk to business partners is difficult. They think that you are a kid and they will put you aside. So that's something difficult. But throughout the years, I discovered or even realized the most important thing is to be confident in terms of what you are doing, know what you are saying, know what you're doing, and believe in your company. And that is the most important part. The reason why it's once you have that trust in your company, in your team, there's no way that you will be afraid when you meet competitors or you meet other people from other industry who are trying to tell you that, oh, chocolate melts in this hot weather, and why are you selling chocolates in Malaysia? Chocolates just melt. So it's not a good idea to sell chocolate, especially to tourists where they have to stop at different places and they have to keep on the air-conditioned bus. Mm. If not, then the chocolate will melt in such a hot weather.
Right. I think you've made quite a number of points there within all of that. First of all, you know, the fact that, you know, you are competing against a lot of well-established companies. I would, you know, when we think chocolate, we think, I don't know, like Cadbury or Ritter or Ferrero Rocher or something. I don't know if those are, you know, but, you know, it's true that Malaysia isn't known for chocolate as a country. I think when we think chocolate, we think maybe like Switzerland or something. So that's interesting that is, you know, that is a barrier to achieving success in a way, because it's difficult for people to know Malaysia as a chocolate country when it wasn't before, essentially, right? And then also the point about being young, I can personally relate to that. This is my first professional job, and a lot of people will come into the studios and be like, oh, but you're only 23. How can I trust you to interview me and stuff like that? So, you know, there is really a perception that when you're young, you don't know a lot or you aren't capable of a lot, which is totally not the case. And again, the fact that you're going up against very, very established companies or trying to partner with established companies as well, you know, and you are an independent chocolate business, right? You know, I can understand that those are some obstacles that you have to go through as well.
We didn't go to the traditional way in terms of like, we just have a chocolate retail shop and it's an open market. Right now, what is our main focus is our main customers are tourists around the world. We have served 8 million customers around the world throughout the years. We are proud because what we do, unlike other chocolate well-known countries like Belgium, Switzerland, what we focus much more is having chocolate to infuse with Malaysian flavors. That's what makes us unique. And we hope to position our company as a top give a souvenir to the tourists or even for locals. If you are visiting other people in another country, bring our gifts along. That is our goal and that's our mission.
Right. So basically, within this kind of industry that has been dominated by purely retail chocolate, you guys have tried to shift the model slightly. Instead of focusing on the chocolate itself, it's more about trying to promote the local flavors of Malaysia and associating that with chocolate, I suppose, so that people can get to know like some of our local flavors a little bit more. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. Right. Yes.
Okay. So in that case, you know, what is the chocolate industry even like in Malaysia?
We have a few big players and chocolate, in Malaysia, we are well known in processing chocolate in the world. But we used to be a large cocoa producer in Malaysia, but unfortunately it has been replaced with palm oil plantation.
Right.
But with, the chocolate industry right now, it's definitely growing in terms of there are many other single origin players. They plant cocoa trees and then they start selling it.
Mm. So what are actually some of the trends or changes that you've noticed within what kind of chocolate that people like, I suppose, over the course of, you know, I mean, I know that you only joined the company 4.5 years ago, but since the company has been running since 2005, you know, is there a preference? Like, is there some sort of swing between
there
what kinds
is.
Of chocolate people
there
like?
There is. There's a very unique, interesting trend when we saw that, like, Chinese and Taiwanese, they love dark chocolate, the darker the better, meaning higher cocoa-contained chocolate. Mm. Like, Indian, they love sweet. They prefer the white chocolate. That's something that we see in the trend is uniquely when we have our product or serving, positioning our outlets, that's definitely some of the things that we have found out that is really unique.
Mm. That's actually really interesting, the fact that your preference for chocolate can be based on, I guess, your cultural background as well. Because I think that sort of makes sense in terms of, I would assume that with Indian like desserts, those tend to be very, very sweet. So they get used to that sort of flavor from their snacks, essentially. Whereas I guess with Chinese culture or Taiwanese culture, you get more like kind of herbal taste and stuff. So they would be more inclined towards the bitterness of dark chocolate and health benefits. That's so fascinating. Actually, I've never even thought of that. Personally, I like white chocolate, but I'm Chinese, so I don't know what that says about me. I also am aware that white chocolate isn't technically chocolate, but it's fine. We'll move on. All right, it's time for some music now, but after that, I'll continue speaking to Ting Weizi about Harrison and where they source their product from. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9 for more discussion about that on Her Vantage.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to Her Vantage. This is Enterprise. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to the CEO of Harrison, which is a local chocolatier, Ting Weizi. Before the break, we were talking basically about the beginnings of Harrison, the fact that it's a family business started by your father, S.C. Tung, in 2005, and essentially what sets you guys apart from other chocolate manufacturers or chocolatiers as such. So in that case, right, you also mentioned that you really try to infuse local flavors into your products, and I know that you have a durian chocolate, which personally I'm very excited about, but you also have other flavors as well. You've got a Tongkat Ali as well, I believe. I mean, how did you even come up with this concept, and how do these flavors work with chocolate as well? Because we don't think about those kinds of flavors going into something sweet.
I think you brought up a very great questions about our products, because chocolate, when we have that image, it's usually paired with nuts, like macadamia, almond, raisin.
Or fruits as well.
Yeah, raisin. When my dad came up with the idea that, okay, we cannot be like just other chocolate shop where we just sell Belgium recipe chocolate, the normal chocolate or candies confectionaries. He wanted to do something to promote Malaysia. So he was thinking, okay, Malaysia, what you think of is durian. So he was thinking, okay, why not we use Musang King, D24, and try with chocolate, you know, just have a test with chocolate. How does it go with? And fantastically, I think it tastes great. Mm. It tastes great. And Christine, later, maybe you have a chance to try it.
I mean, I'm not like you guys brought chocolates into the studio or anything. you know, I'm actually very excited about it. But it's fascinating because, you know, I think durian as well is such a strong flavor. And to introduce that flavor to tourists, especially, and to the international crowd at large, in the form of something familiar as well, I think that really helps to sort of take away some of the stigma of eating durian. I say stigma, but, you know, that kind of concept that, like, oh, it's like so smelly and it doesn't taste nice. And, you know, putting that into something that they do like, it's chocolate, might help to actually introduce this strong and unique flavor to people in a way that doesn't intimidate them at the same time.
Yes, absolutely right. And the other thing is, because when we pair something that exotic to something commonly known, that's definitely a big challenge to us, especially what we believe is not using any flavoring and no preservative. So especially durian, we use natural durian puree, white chocolate and sugar. That's the simple content.
Right.
We don't use any artificial flavors.
You don't use preservatives. You don't use flavoring agents, I suppose. You actually use pure extracts or purees of the products that you incorporate into your chocolate. But also in general, chocolate is something that tends to be sourced from specific countries and stuff. So I'm just curious to ask, where do you source your ingredients from when it comes to the manufacturing of your chocolate products?
We do not do bean to bar right now. What we do, we source chocolate from the leading chocolate manufacturing, Barry Callebaut. They are well known in an industry where they source beans from all around the world.
Mm-hmm. All right. So basically, you guys aren't in charge of the actual chocolate, I suppose, manufacturing process, or?
Yes, we once we get the raw materials from Barry Callebaut, and we will develop tasting profiles from the chocolate and then see what it's paired great with.
Right.
For example, like curry, we pair it with milk. We don't pair it with white. We don't pair it with dark because we think that the milk profile tastes well with curry.
Right.
So that's what we do usually with the raw materials. So yeah, we usually, what we do is we process the goods.
Right. And on average, you know, how long does it take for you guys to come up with a new flavor? Like, you know, what is the testing process like?
The process around three months. What we do is we will have our selection of raw material, and usually what we do is we will see what's the market looking for. For example, our upcoming project, it's the fourth type of chocolate, ruby chocolate. So once we have the raw material in, we will pair with something. Okay, we always go by that our company's vision, which is to introduce or to influence customers what Malaysia flavor is.
Right.
So what we do when we have ruby chocolate, we will start to think, okay, what is the flavor profile? It tastes like berry. So can we do it in, can we incorporate it with berry-like fruits, or can we do it with other almond nuts? So we have some category of selections. We definitely needs to go through indulgent process for us management or for the team to try out which goes best with ruby or which goes best with our chocolate.
So actually, let's go back to the ruby thing, because we've mentioned that very, very briefly, but I want to actually go back to that. You have a partnership, as you mentioned, with Barry Callebaut, who is, as you said, the world's leading manufacturer of high-quality chocolate and cocoa products. And you guys are bringing what is known as ruby chocolate, quote-unquote, to Southeast Asia for the first time. Not only is your partnership with Barry Callebaut to bring ruby chocolate to Southeast Asia for the first time, but also specifically, Malaysia will be the first country in Southeast Asia to actually get Ruby Chocolate. Is that correct?
Yes. Harrison is proud to be the first one to bring in Ruby. We incorporated it with coconut, and definitely it tastes amazing. I love the product.
Yeah, I can imagine the coconut berry tastes really good together. But what is Ruby Chocolate? Because we know what dark chocolate is, which is basically chocolate with a high cocoa content, right? We know what milk chocolate is, it's chocolate with milk. And we know what white chocolate is, it's essentially it's cocoa butter with sugar, right? But what is Ruby Chocolate and why is it so unique?
Ruby Chocolate is the fourth kind of chocolate next to milk white dark chocolate. And it's been discovered by Barry Kalibob. It's pink in color and it has a very rich berry taste.
Right.
But it's all natural. The color is natural. The taste is natural. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have any coloring or flavor in it. And it actually contains a cocoa contained. Like you said earlier, white chocolate, it doesn't have cocoa mass in it. But in Ruby Chocolate, there is. There are actually more than 30% of cocoa contained in it. So I must say, if you think white chocolate is chocolate, then definitely Ruby is
chocolate as
the
well.
The chocolate, yeah.
Yeah,
the
okay.
chocolate as well.
Very interesting. As a sort of side note, you know, weaving off the tangent briefly, I also understand that with the climate change, you know, issues and stuff, this might affect the way that the cocoa industry is, essentially. You know, is that something that you guys are worried about as a chocolatier in Malaysia?
Yes, definitely. Like I said earlier, Malaysia was one of the largest cocoa plantation in the world, but it has been replaced with palm oil. In the world plantation right now, definitely there's a shortage of supply in cocoa. In future, Harrison, what we would do, it would definitely want to do something in the line whereby that we want to do bean to bar, where we would definitely hope to develop our own cocoa flavor and have plants, trees, cocoa tree in Malaysia.
Fantastic. Okay, so as I understand it, you guys have sort of different types of shops or different types of branches, I suppose, for Harrison as well. So can you talk to me a little bit more about the difference between those outlets?
We have both brands in across Malaysia right now. We have Harrison Signature, which is one in Sham Lin Cheras, and one is situated in Penang. We have Harrison Boutique, which are in Gotong Jaya, Genting, and we have it in Bagan Jamal, Penang, and one in Jalan Ampang, which is in Malaysian Tourism Centre.
Right.
So the differences between Harrison Signature and Harrison Boutique are the positioning of our chocolate brand, whereby Harrison Signature are much more premium.
I see.
And we have DIYs situated inside where customers can able to hands-on try to do some chocolates in Harrison Signature.
Interesting. You know, I like the idea of the kind of make your own chocolate experience sort of thing. I think that's pretty fun. All right. Last but not least, of course, you know, I've got to ask, what does Harrison have coming up in the future as well?
We're planning to open more outlets across Malaysia. Definitely hoping to have our brand well known internationally.
Fantastic. All right. Hopefully we get to see more of Harrison as they continue to spread chocolate love throughout Malaysia and also throughout the world as well. Maybe who knows, right? But thank you so much to Ting Wei Zi for speaking to me today about Harrison. As I mentioned earlier, she's the CEO of Harrison here in Malaysia. I'm Christine Wong. This has been her Vantage on Enterprise. If you've missed any of this interview, you can go to our app on the Apple App Store or Google Play and download and or listen to the podcast all over again. If you're not a mobile kind of person, you can also head over to our website, bfm.my, and listen and download to the podcast as well. With that, you know, stay tuned to BFM 89.9 for more interesting discussions.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.